Words for Life today is by Pastor Rob Buckingham of Bayside Church in Cheltenham, here in the southern suburbs of Melbourne.
Today, I want us to look at gentleness being more powerful than anger. Let's go together to Proverbs chapter 15. And just the first four verses, where the writer, probably Solomon, is talking about gentleness being more powerful than anger, that gentleness is actually taking the high road when everything within us wants to respond to a situation in an angry way. And he writes these words in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." Conflict. Conflict is unavoidable. And if you haven't discovered that yet, you've either lived a very sheltered life or you're about to discover it. Conflict is unavoidable in every situation of life, wherever there are people, wherever there are more than one people. How we handle those conflicts can help us improve or destroy our relationships. I read about a psychiatric hospital with this sign at the entrance: "Do you want to be right or do you want to be well?" There are situations of conflict in every part of life, even in married life. I heard about one married couple where the wife started to complain to her husband. She said, "Things are not like they used to be. Things have changed." Right there is a point where there could have been a conflict, but he decided to be gentle in response. He said, "What do you mean things have changed?" And she said, "Well, you used to sit really near me on the couch." And so he sat on the couch really near her. And she said, "Well, you used to put your arms around me and hold me tight." And so he put his arms around her and gave her a big hug. She said, "You used to nudge into my neck and nibble on my earlobe." And at that, he just stood up and walked out of the room. She said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'll be right back. I've just gone to get my teeth." Conflict is a horrible picture, isn't it? "All right, dear, I'm ready." Handling conflict. I've given you in your notes four ways that we can handle an argument. Number one is learn to whisper. Learn to whisper. And that's what Solomon is saying here in Proverbs 15 and verse 1. "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." I love the New Living Translation of that. It says, "A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare." Gentle answer deflects anger. What a wonderful picture that is. You know, you think of someone that's standing there, you know, like some sort of superhero, and bullets are like Superman. Bullets are being fired at him and he's tung, tung, you know, and the bullets are just deflecting off his arms. He's just able to, you know, deflect them. That's what gentle words are like. If someone comes at you with an angry attitude or angry words, a gentle answer will deflect anger. That word deflect also means to ricochet. It kind of bounces off and flies off in a different direction. Have you ever tried to argue in a whisper? It's equally hard to argue with someone who insists on answering gently. I read this recently and I want to read this to you. It's from a website on psychology, and this is a psychology tip. And the title of it is "You Get What You Give." And it says this: "People tend to respond to the attitudes and actions expressed by others in similar ways. Act politely towards someone and he will respond in kind. Display hostility and you will get back what you give. There is an unconscious urge to live up or down to the opinions others appear to demonstrate toward us. There is nothing mysterious about this, except the amazing results that come when you begin to put this law into effect. For example, the speech research unit of Kenyon College proved that when someone is shouted at, he couldn't help but shout back, even when he can't see the speaker. Tests were run over telephones and intercoms to determine optimum degrees of loudness for giving instructions and commands. In the experiments, the speaker asked simple questions, each in varying degrees of loudness. The responses always mirrored the questions. When the question was asked loudly, the answer was given as loud. Their conclusion was this: no matter how hard they tried, people on the receiving end could not help but be influenced by the tones of the speaker. This psychological fact suggests that we can all exert a great deal of control over the emotions of those with whom we deal simply through the tone of voice we choose to use. For example, when a situation threatens to become explosive or get out of hand, you can, by deliberately lowering the tone of your voice, compel the other person to keep his voice soft also. Of course, if you permit anger to build up, this ploy is not likely to work. But you can turn anger away before it builds up by using this technique. There it is, on a psychology website. Fascinating. What they're discovering today, Solomon, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, told people about 3,000 years ago. A gentle answer turns away anger. So remember that. If someone is shouting at you, make a choice to take the high road and answer gently. Secondly, learn to wait. In Proverbs 15 and verse 2, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. I love that descriptive word there, gushes. We've all seen something gushing, a fountain, maybe a burst water main or something. There's all this water gushing out and running down the road. The Bible says that's what the mouth of a fool is like. All gushing foolishness. James, the half-brother of Jesus, put it this way in chapter 1 and verse 19 and 20. He said, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." In other words, learn to wait. You know, when you get an email that makes you angry, and you bang out a response to that email, and you do it angrily. Taking the high road will be writing that email and then putting it into drafts for at least a day. I think sometimes the writing of the email can be therapy in and of itself. But don't put the sender's email, don't push reply, you know, because you might just accidentally push send to go, "Ah, I said that." No, what you need to do is write it and then put it into drafts and then revisit it a day later and either modify it or delete it. Take the high road, learn to wait. When you're feeling angry, and each and every one of us are put in situations where we feel angry, learning to wait is such a good idea. Go for a walk and cool down. Go to the gym. Go to a boxing class. Get a picture of the person that made you angry and stick it on the... No, I'm just kidding. Wait. Take the high road. Something happens in our brains when we get angry. A stress hormone is triggered by anger and it literally impairs the oxygen flow to the brain. So it takes time for those hormones to level out and for rational thinking to return again. That's why when people are angry, they say stupid things. Like Proverbs says, "The mouth of the fool gushes folly." People, when they're angry, do stupid things, sometimes terrible things, because these hormones have impaired rational thinking. And so learning to wait and going and cooling down, and then in the coolness of your head and your heart going back and trying to sort the situation out. If you don't wait, if you choose the low road, you'll end up saying things you'll later regret. You'll end up exaggerating and using words like always or never, which are almost always never true. Number three, learn to choose your battles wisely. In Proverbs 15 and the next two verses, 3 and 4, the Lord is watching everywhere, keeping his eye on both the evil and the good. Gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Let's turn to James chapter 3, shall we? James 3. And let's pick it up at verse 5. This whole chapter is talking about the tongue. And James says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Learn to choose your battles wisely and learn to control your tongue. Choose your battles wisely. Ask yourself, is this battle worth fighting? We have kids who go to a school, and any parent who has children at school will find that there will be things that happen at school that you think, well, I really don't like that. But you know, as a parent, you have to pick your battles wisely. Christy and I have chosen this over the years, because otherwise, you know, if you go in and fight every battle, you just become known as a whinger. Sometimes people are like that in a church community, and everything that they don't like is brought up, you know, and after a while you think, oh my goodness, are we doing anything right? Because everything seems to be wrong. We all know people like that. Maybe you've got people like that in your family. Maybe you're like that. If you are, stop it. Learn to pick your battles wisely. It is so important. Choose your battles wisely and take the high road. It's like the husband who was in big trouble when he forgot his wedding anniversary. His wife told him, tomorrow there better be something in the driveway that goes from 0 to 80 in 2 seconds flat. The next morning, the wife found a small package in the driveway. She opened it and found a brand new pair of bathroom scales. Learn to pick your battles wisely. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19. There are, it's a great joke, I love that. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. In other words, people that are always going into battle. They don't learn to pick their battles wisely. One of the things God hates is the behavior of a person who just keeps an argument going just for the sake of arguing. We all know people like that. Don't be that person. It's like the Monty Python skit. You know, the argument clinic. Has anyone ever seen the argument clinic? Okay. You know, the guy who goes in, he says, I'd like to have an argument, please. And they say, you want a 5-minute argument or the full half hour? So I think he pays for the full half hour, and he goes in there and he said, I've come in for an argument. And John Cleese goes, no, you haven't. And off it goes. It's all on YouTube. I just watched it the other day. Go onto YouTube and type in Monty Python argument clinic, and you will really enjoy it. No, I won't. And so number four, always speak the truth in love. And I've put it that way because, you know, it's like whisper, wait, and wisely. And I couldn't think of another W. So I've just made it always speak the truth in love. And some of you right now will be thinking of true love. Ephesians 4 and verse 15, Paul writes, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Handling an argument well doesn't mean saying nothing. And that's a really important thing, because sometimes, see, the Bible says, be angry, but do not sin. We'll read that in just a moment. And so sometimes people think in handling anger well is just to shove everything down and don't deal with it. That's really dangerous. So handling anger badly is either exploding or stuffing it all down. And if you stuff it all down and you don't say anything and you don't deal with it in the right way, this thing bubbles away and festers on the inside. And you will either eventually explode or it will affect your body in some way in physical symptoms. And so it's important that we learn to deal with it in the right way. And the Bible puts it this way in Ephesians 4, 25 to 26. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. In other words, you can be angry, but you don't want to enter into sin in your anger by, you know, becoming explosive or destructive or hurtful or whatever. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Now, that does not mean that if you have an argument with someone or you're feeling angry at 7:30 in the evening, that you've got 1 hour to deal with it, because the sun's going down at 8:30. So I've got to get this dealt with, and I've got to get it dealt with now, because I've got to deal with this anger before the sun goes down. So I'm going to deal with this anger if it kills me. But you don't want to, that's not what the Bible means. What it means is don't let the anger go longer than it needs to go. Like, learn to whisper, learn to wait, choose your battles wisely, speak the truth in love, and deal with it in the right way at the right time. That's what don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. That's what it means. I found this during the week. This is in the Herald Sun, so it must be true. And it says more couples argue in bed. The advice is never to go to bed on an argument. So they're kind of loosely quoting the Bible there, which is good, isn't it? The advice to never go to bed on an argument is not being taken up by many couples. New research has found that 2 out of 3 Australian couples admit to ending the day by bickering in bed. Causes of arguments include bedtimes, hogging the doona, and snoring. I don't do any of those. Christy reckons I snore, but I stayed awake all one night to see if I did or not. And I didn't. The Sleepmaker research into 1,000 people also found that women were more likely to blame their partners for lack of sleep, 39%, than men, 29%. And 33% of couples argued in bed an average of 3 times a week, resulting in 2 full nights of missed sleep. A main cause for bickering is snoring and fidgeting, 40%, with body heat or cold hands and feet another major cause. 20%. I just thought that was fascinating. I'm sure all of us can relate if you are in a marriage relationship to one of those. Get those cold feet off my back. I can imagine people saying, yeah. Actually, Christy got these luminous, what colour are those socks? Says, apparently I'm in trouble, so... Don't let the sun go down upon your anger. They're luminous, like green socks with things in the sole of them. You can put them in the microwave and heat them up and then put them on. Warms her feet up. I call them passion killers, but anyway. It's like, oh, you got your socks on, right. Let me finish, because I really think I should. And I'll just finish with this quote from a lady by the name of Margie Worrell. She's a local lady, a wonderful lady, and actually was one of our guests on Series 1 of The Exchange. But she's written a really good book on this subject. It's called Find Your Courage, and it's about dealing with conflict. You might want to get a hold of it and have a read of it. And she says this, anger on its own is neither good nor bad. Rather, it's a natural emotion that arises when we perceive an injustice to ourselves or others. The problem does not arise when we have anger. It arises when anger has us. It's how we respond to it that determines whether it is helpful to our relationships by addressing valid issues that threaten to undermine them, and good for society by working to end injustice, or damaging to our relationships, destructive to our circumstances, and plain old bad for our health. Think heart disease, depression, ulcers. I'd go on, but it doesn't get better. In other words, our response to anger ultimately creates more suffering for us and others, or less. It all hinges on how we process and express it. And so, church, learn to speak the truth in love. Amen. Words for